The Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26 with myself, Mo Moonsi. Alongside me is always the legendary two-time NBA championship winning coach, Mr. Brennan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Loving the NBA. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
15 games left for each team. The playoffs are almost here. I can't wait. And while we're waiting for the playoffs, make sure you guys get NBA 2K26. It's in full flow. You got to go in there, get involved with the My Team and the My Player. Because when you play My Player, you have the chance to do things like score 83 points in an NBA game. So if you don't yet have 2K, make sure get it from the link in the description. Because just last week, we haven't spoke about this yet, Coach. Bam Adebayo, 83 points in an NBA game. That really happened. It wasn't a dream. It actually existed. And a lot of people have been asking me my opinion. And you know what? I hear it because you guys missed the daily episodes where we could have reacted in real time. But, you know, we've had some time to think about it. I've watched it back a couple times. And I want to be a hater so bad. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Kobe Bryant is one of the greatest players to ever do it. And to have his record surpassed by a player who's known for being a defense, like Bam Adebayo averages 16 points a game for his career. He ain't a scorer like that. We all know it. If Kobe's record was going to get broken by Luka or Anthony Edwards or someone like that, I think the reception to it would have been a little bit better. But a lot of people were angry at Bam, saying it was unethical the way he did it, so on and so forth. So I went back and I watched it again. First quarter, Bam's on an absolute heater. Perfect. 10 out of 10. No notes. Second quarter, subs in with about 7 minutes left in the quarter, picks up where he left off. No notes. Third quarter, I think the first time I saw Bam being double teamed was with 54 seconds left in the third quarter. By that time, he's already on 65 points. Okay. Then he checks into the game in the fourth and he gets to 70. And then we do see what was, in my opinion, as a fan watching the game, a terrible fourth quarter. It was essentially a glorified free throw contest in order for Bam to chase down the record. Now, there's a few things that I want to say. Number one, I'm not mad at Bam Adebayo. Congratulations, Bam. Bam, by all accounts, is a fantastic guy. He's a guy who plays the game the right way. We always talk about there's no defense in the NBA anymore. Bam Adebayo plays defense on a nightly basis. You can never question his integrity when it comes to the game of basketball. So, congratulations to Bam. It was unexpected. But he shows up every night. He's always available. He always plays hard. He doesn't cause drama. He's on a Miami Heat team that doesn't really have a chance of winning. He's not doing demanding a trade. He's not doing drama and gossip and all of that. He plays the game the right way. I'm happy for him. But do you know what really makes me sick?
What's that, Mo?
What really makes me... I felt ill watching this game back. Do you know why? I think about when we had Isaiah Thomas on this show at the start of the season. If you guys haven't heard that, go and check that out. And he said something that stuck with me. And he said, there's no shame in the NBA anymore. These players do not have a sense of shame. And while I was watching this game back, that's all I could hear in my head. Because Alexander Saar, ladies and gentlemen, Alexander Saar needs to be disgusted with himself. Now, I would understand if Bam Adebayo was on a heater and he was just frying you and he was in his bag left to right, tween, hezzy, cross, into the fade. I'd understand that. Cool. He scored 70 points. He scored 83 points. He was on a heater. He was chucking heat check shots from half court. No. Go back and watch the game. No one played defense on him.
Right.
There was no defense on him. Alexander Saar was late on closeouts. Bam, all the threes he scored, Bam was basically wide open on the catch. It's not like he was taking these crazy contested threes with a hand in his face. Wide open. And then because Saar's late to the closeout, Bam can drive past him, get to the lane, and more times than not, it was an and one. Alexander Saar and the Washington Wizards, you disgust me. That's my takeaway from the game. Like, it's not like we watched one of the greatest scorers of a generation. When Luka had 50 points the other night, there was nothing you could do to stop Luka from scoring. Right? When Embiid had 70 points, there was nothing you could do to stop him. He was in a zone. When Kobe scored 81, he was in a zone. Bam Adebayo's game, it's not like that. Like, yeah, he made some tough buckets. He made some tough and ones, so on and so forth. But so much of his scoring was largely in part to horrific, horrific defense. And I just look at it And I think the guy scored 30. How much did he score in the first quarter? 31 in the first quarter?
31, I think, yeah.
And I think if a guy scores 31 points on you in the first quarter, we talked about this last week, Coach. You might want to change your game plan a little bit. In the fourth quarter, was it end of the third, start of the fourth? There's a three-pointer he scores where someone sets a brush screen for him. He gets to the corner, wide open. The defender doesn't even try to go through the screen. He's just kind of walking to the... And I just watched it, and I said, this guy's got 65 points, and you're not picking him up like that? Like I said, he didn't get his first double team till the end of the third. Then they started triple teaming him when he got to like 75 points. By then, it's too late.
Yeah.
The Washington Wizards. And here's the thing, okay? This sums up everything that's wrong with the NBA today. Because when we talk about tanking and teams wanting to lose, the Wizards want to lose. Cool. But at least most teams, like the Sacramento Kings, are losing a lot of games. They're getting their ass kicked. But at least the players out there on the court want to try to win. They look like they care. They bring some effort. The Utah Jazz, in games they lose, they still bring effort. The sure. Washington Wizards, the team looks like they've said, all right, cool, we're just going to wait until the draft. And that's the players. I've never seen it like this. Usually, the organization wants to tank. The head coach wants to tank. But the players have some self-respect. Alex Saar, you got your ass beat by Bam Adebayo. I would love nothing more than if they drafted Alex Saar's replacement. And it was the end of his time in Washington. And then, do you know the worst part for me, Coach? Do you know the worst part for me?
What's that?
You guys have gone and traded for Trae Young to be the new face of your franchise. Watch the bench. If you go back and watch the game, watch the bench. Every time Bam scores, Trae Young smiles. There was one where I think Bam got his like 64th point and one. And he's gone to the bucket, got fouled, and his momentum's carried him. He's standing in front of the Wizards bench and he's going, ah! He's just made a tough shot, right? The Wizards bench, the bench guys look miserable. And Trae Young is grinning ear to ear. Come on now, Trae. I know that's your boy. I know you might have been in USA minicamp together or whatever the hell it is. Come on now. We ain't doing all of that. Have some self-respect. That's the thing I think that's lacking. Is I'm not mad at Bam Adebayo. What I didn't like was the intentional fouling to get him to beat the record. I wasn't a fan of that because you had 70 with 9 minutes left. You could have just carried on playing and beat the record. And then no one would be complaining. And the thing I really didn't like was Keyshawn Johnson missing a free throw on purpose to try and get the ball back to Bam Adebayo. Like, come on, man. Respect your teammate enough to know that he's already on 75. He'll get 4 more points or whatever the hell you want him to get. Yeah. I didn't like that. What surprised me was Eric Spoelstra challenging a call to get Bam more free throws to break the record. I don't have a problem with that. Like, the guy's on 70 points with 9 minutes left. Go for the record. Cool. My problem is Eric Spoelstra calls the second least amount of challenges in the entire NBA. He never challenges calls. I've seen Heat games where the game is on the line and he's not challenged a call to win the game. But you're going to challenge it for this. Come on now, Spo. Now, I'm not mad at it. You want to get your guy a record. But for the Heat fans' sake, moving forwards, can you please challenge a few more calls for your team in games where you actually compete in and not up by 40 points trying to break a record? That's my take on it. At first, I was like, no, this is terrible. This is fraudulent and so on. But I watched it again and again, and I just think, you know what? Bam shows up every day. He plays hard. And I think, and this is my proposition, Coach.
Yeah.
Everyone who plays against these tanking teams should designate one player a night to try and break 83 points. And that's how we eliminate tanking. Because if you guys come out and you try and lose, one of us is going to kick your ass so bad you're going to be in the history books forever. I think that's the solution. We found it.
No. that's the first time we've ever heard that take on that. Yeah, that's good. There was a lot of criticism in the States post-game the next day, anti-Bam, anti-Spoelstra. And knowing Spoelstra so well since he was a young man, it was so unnecessary. He's one of the great coaches of our game. If you're going to play in an NBA game as a player or participate as a coach, you have a responsibility, a professional responsibility, as you mentioned before, to compete. And Isaiah said it right. I had the honor of coaching Isaiah for many years, and we never had to say anything to our players about competing, playing hard, taking a hard foul, They just knew that the way they played every game to win. And if you don't play and you run a problem in this league, if you or any league, if you don't play to win every night, it's going to bite you in the ass. It's karma. I call it, it's bad karma. And it was kind of fitting in a way that one of the teams that was, quote, not me, I'm not saying it, but air quotes, tanking by many people around basketball, that this happened to them. You have to do it. And if a guy is not competing, you take him out and you put one of the young guys in. And you see a lot of the young the teams that have injuries and et cetera, they're playing young players. But boy, they're playing so hard because they're trying to prove themselves. This was an absolute disgrace. And if they had really taken better shots in the fourth quarter, they would have scored 170 points. You know, and Bam would have – Bam, there's actually a breakdown, Mo, in the last 3 days that if Mo had done – I'm sorry, Mo – if Bam had done a better job with his
Mo's
free throws,
never scored 83 points, unfortunately. No,
in a week.
Respect me now, Carl. That's gone too far.
He could have had 100 points, legitimately.
Yeah.
Because he shot so poorly from the field.
Yep.
Okay? And so if he had shot well, especially in the second half and the fourth quarter, goodness gracious, his threes were like 30%.
He was 20 of 43 from the field, 7 of 22 from three, and 36 of 43 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
The Wizards as a team got to the line 29 times. Bam Adebayo got to the line 43 times.
And let me say this. There might have been three or four calls that were okay. But when your team, I've always told my players, if you don't play hard, the team that plays hardest gets the calls from the referee.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't playing hard. So you know what? And then you're running around three guys on one guy. It was like a little kid's playing keep away.
Yeah, that was only in the last few minutes when he got close to the record. Yeah, like, where the hell was your pride at the start of this game? You had 31 in the first.
Yeah, what are you talking about? So, you know, I'd be embarrassed to have coached that game if I was a coach. I hope their coaching staff learns from it because they have some very good coaches on their staff. But defensively is the only thing that we really have control over as an NBA coach is your defense. I'm telling you, you can't help if a guy just is wide open and he misses a shot. You can't do anything about it. Defensively, you can put game plans in. But also, if guys aren't guarding, you take them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing I can guarantee you, you can hold your players accountable defensively. You know, so that's my take on it. And I'm really happy. Bam is a nice guy. If you had told me he scored 40 points in a game, I'd be shocked. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that if you had a bingo card, we call it a bingo card, who would score 83 points? There would be 100 players in the league that you would have said before.
Yep. Yep.
That's not a disrespect. He's an Olympic gold medalist, et cetera. No
he's
problem.
Just not a scorer. He's not known as a scorer.
He's and a terrific I just team like player.
In my head, it's so simple, right? If a guy has like 15 points in the first quarter, you change your game plan. You say, all right, cool. I'm not going to let this guy catch the ball again. I'm going to make his life difficult.
You put someone else on him or you take someone out of the game. And, you know, I mean, it's really simple because, you know, and we're picking on Sar, and I don't mean to do that.
I do.
I know you do.
Because he's the primary defender for most. No. He wasn't a defender for all of them.
I'm not trying to make it
most
personal.
Of the points.
I'm not trying to make it personal.
But the reason why I am is because I've come on here and I've praised him for being a great defender this season, which is why up until the start of March, I think he's been a fantastic defender. But now have you just mentally checked out? The season is 82 games. Play all 82 games the right way. I'm not saying he's a terrible defender. I know he's capable of being a good defender. That's why I'm so mad about it.
Well, so my thing I was going to say, not to make it personal, I was going to say, I'm telling Alex, get on this guy, guard him, or else you're sitting your ass down. Or I'm putting someone else on him right away. But I am not going to sit there and like that. It was like there was nothing done. There was no adjustments made in those first three quarters. I don't know what they thought was happening, but you can't let that happen to your team. That's an embarrassment for your team.
Yeah, is a disgrace. It's an absolute really disgrace. And I think watching that performance is everything that fans think is wrong with the modern NBA. Lack of effort on defense. And then I get that Bam was being aggressive going to the hole, but come on now, 43 free throws. It's not the problem with the fouls they called for Bam in this game. My problem is with the fouls that they call around the league in general. Yeah. It's way too easy to get to the free throw line. They call such soft fouls for every star player in the league.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating for fans to watch this. Because just before I let you continue, because here's my thing with the whole performance is Kobe scoring 81, fantastic, right? That's the kind of game you'll show your kids. Like, this is the night Kobe scored 81. I don't think anyone's showing their kids the night Bam Adebayo scored 83.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, 36 of them are from the line. 7 of 22 from behind the arc. So, like, I don't think people are mad that Kobe's record got beaten. I think it's the way in which it got beaten. And that's nothing personal to Bam, and it's nothing personal to Miami Heat. Like, you've got 70 points with 9 minutes left. Why the hell not go for it? Why the hell not? True. You're not winning anything this season. You give the fans something to cheer about. You give Bam a place in the history books. He's a guy who plays the game the right way, shows up, does his thing every time and competes. Why not? But I think this is just it spotlights a lot of the problems that the NBA has right now in terms of officiating and in terms of players, as Isaiah said, having no shame.
Yeah. One of the funny things is now that happened back in the day, so to speak, in the 80s and 90s, if a guy made a couple of shots, like Bam, first of all, he's a 15-foot and in player. This guy's coming down, launching threes in the first quarter on the fast break. Never seen him do that. Dribble up, shoot the three.
No Tyler Herro, no Norman Powell. He said, forget it tonight. I'm going to score.
I'm just laughing. I'm saying this is not. But if a guy did that a couple of times, Chuck Daly and myself would never have to say a word. About the third time, fourth time, as that guy went up for a shot, we would have gone and contested a shot and went right through his nose. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know what? There wouldn't have been another shot. I'm telling you, because you just have to let them know. But they weren't even close enough to challenge him on a shot. But hey, happy for Bam. Happy his gal was there to see him. Happy his mom was there to see him. That was all wonderful. And that's all good.
Should I tell you the biggest fumble for Bam? And Vince and T-Mac tried to set him up for this on the post-game show because Asia Wilson had just got back to Miami. She missed him scoring his 10,000th career point. And she just got back to Miami. She was over here doing a European tour promoting her new shoe.
Okay.
Now, if Bam had worn, because her shoes are a full-size run from kids up to men's. If Bam had done this in her new sneaker, it would have been the greatest promo for the new sneaker. So T-Mac and Vince in the post-game show tried to tee him up. So they're like, oh, Bam. Yeah, it's a good day to sell some shoes. Tell them what shoes you were wearing. And everyone's expecting him to say that he was wearing the Asia Wilsons. And he goes, I'm wearing an Air Jordan 40.
University of Kentucky guy, I'm telling you.
But that was the big story of the week. And like, I was mad about it at first. But then the more I've watched it, the more I'm just like, you know, I can't be mad at Bam Adebayo. And I can't be mad at his teammate.
I'm not mad.
I'm disgusted at the Washington Wizards.
And knowing Eric Spoelstra and knowing he's our Olympic coach in 28, the last thing I am is mad at him because, you know what, when one of your guys is doing something good and he's a good person on top of it, just flow with the night and see if something special can happen. So I don't have a problem with that. You know what? And like I always say, if you're pissed off at it, if you're the other team, then do something about it. Guard him. It's really simple.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really simple. The guy had 31.
Don't be pressing a guy full court. You're pressing a center full court? Like, what are you doing?
I wouldn't be mad at that if they'd done it in the first quarter where he scored 31 points.
You know, I mean, it was stupid to do. I mean, they got two guys running around on him, picking up fouls for running around, hitting a guy. It's just dumb. I mean, it was embarrassing from a standpoint of what was going on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I feel like an old man. I'm just getting mad at things. But shout out to Bam. Shout out to Bam forever in the history books now. Also, Coach, I believe you were coaching Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game back in the day.
Yeah,
right?
I was. I actually was coaching that game. Yeah, it sounded like my son. You know, he said, "Dad, you know, the 15 greatest coaches in the NBA. You coached against every one of them?" I said, "No, son, I did not coach against Red Auerbach." You know, he said, "Oh, you didn't?" I said, "No, son, no, I did not. But I coached against the other 14 of them and beat every one of them. How about that?
How about that?" So Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in 1962. Now, there's people on the internet who believe in this conspiracy that Wilt's 100-point game never happened. They say there's no footage of this. They've got footage of everything else. It can't have happened, so on and so forth. You just watch Bam Adebayo, who's not a prolific scorer, score 83 points.
Okay.
If you still believe that that's a conspiracy, you're insane.
Okay. So let me ask you, Mo, a trivia question. Mm-hmm. You're a basketball expert.
Allegedly.
Where was the game played? And what team was he on at the time?
Philadelphia. Philadelphia, was it Warriors back then?
Warriors back then.
Yeah, Philadelphia Warriors against the Knicks.
Yes.
But I don't know, was Philly it a home or away? But it was somewhere random. Was it somewhere random?
Hershey, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Where the Hershey Kisses and Hershey Bars are made.
Okay. That wasn't the arena where they played, right?
You go into the little town of Hershey, PA. And, you know, I don't know if we have them over in the UK, but they have water towers that I don't know what the hell they are.
I think that's an American thing, but I know what you're talking about. They have it in
the
Simpsons.
They have water towers. They're circular and stuff. Theirs is a Hershey Kiss.
Oh, wow. The little chocolate.
It's not chocolate. It's water. But it's the shape of it.
The shape of the chocolate. if it was filled with chocolate, I would have been there.
And the lane was, I believe, either 6 or 12 feet wide. And there was every player in the league was white, all the big men. And I'm not being racial, but they were all white and they couldn't jump. And Wilt was one of the premier athletes in the history of sport. And they didn't understand what double teaming meant. So the guy was just like, and Wilt couldn't shoot free throws, as we both know. Mm-hmm. Couldn't shoot free throws. But that night, he was 28 for 32. Go figure. But you know what? I don't know if the game was really played. We saw a score sheet. Nowadays, with the conspiracy on the internet, Elon Musk would probably say it didn't happen. Yeah.
Well, I don't care what Elon says. There is radio coverage of the game. There is interviews with people who were there who watched it with their own eyes. And if you guys think that in the 1960s in America, there is a conspiracy to celebrate a black man and not a white man, I don't know what you're thinking about. If they were going to make this conspiracy, it would have been for one of the white guys to score 100.
George Mikan.
That's enough conspiracy. Let's get back to real basketball now, because I'm tired of the pathetic Wizards and all these tanking teams. Coach, the playoffs are 15 games away for most teams, so we've got some idea of how the playoff picture will be shaping up. The Pistons are 4 games ahead of the Celtics for the first seed in the East. They will secure that, given hoping that there's no major slide for them. Then you have the Celtics a game and a half ahead of the Knicks, so the 2 and 3 could change, and the Knicks are 2 games ahead of the Cavs, who are 2 games ahead of the Magic, who are half a game ahead of the Raptors, and then you get to the play-in picture. I wanted to ask you this week, Coach. We'll start in the East, and then we'll go and look at the West. If you're the Pistons, who do you want to play in the first round, and who do you want to avoid in the first round? Given that the play-in is mostly likely going to be Raptors, Heat, Hawks, Sixers, Hornets.
Yeah, you're saying the play-in you think will be Raptors?
They could drop down to the play-in.
Yeah. So, right. I tell you what, the bottom 6 teams are all, you know, play-in or playoff just at the 5-6. I mean, all those teams are so closely, especially 5 teams. So, but if I'm Detroit and any of those teams could get in, the team I would want to play if I'm Detroit, ideally, you're going to laugh at this one, I want to go against Philadelphia.
Is that purely because of health? Because yes. Maxey's out injured now, Embiid's injured, Paul George is on Kemen.
Right.
They have a whole bunch of health issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's me. I mean, you know, every team, of course. You know, so, I mean, you know, Orlando had been playing real poorly, but I think they might have won eight in a row now or something. So
they have seven straight, 8-2 in the last 10.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I kind of like that for them.
If there was a team that could take down the Pistons in round one, who do you think that could be?
Ooh. I tell you what, I think the team that's so dangerous right now is Atlanta.
Yep, nine in a row.
I'm just Jalen Johnson, I think, he's all pro, man, in my book. It's whether he's on second or third team, but he's all pro in my book.
The thing with Atlanta, they've won nine in a row. Here's their wins. Bucks, Nets, Mavericks, Sixers, Bucks, Trailblazers, Wizards, Nets.
Yeah.
That's their wins. They've not played a good team.
They're playing the G League, They're playing against the G League team.
Do you know who, if I'm Detroit, I don't want to see in the first round? And it is the man we've been speaking about on this show, and it's Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat.
Yeah,
because Eric Spoelstra does this great thing in the playoffs where he comes up with a defensive scheme that makes your life hell. And when you're the Detroit Pistons, and my biggest worry about the Detroit Pistons is Cade Cunningham is the engine of their offense. Right. Now, if Spo was to play them in the first round and design a defensive scheme that eliminates Cade from the game, you know, you just erase him from the game completely, where are they getting their offense from? Because the rest of their guys are more play finishers rather than playmakers, right? That's why I think at the deadline, if I was the Pistons and I'm the one seed, I wouldn't be content with the one seed. I would have gone and made a move to get another guy who can score, create his own shot, or create for others. So that's why I wouldn't want to face the Miami Heat, because if anyone's capable of making a defense that disrupts what the Pistons are trying to do, especially because the Pistons like to run a lot of lineups with like three guys that can't shoot. And we know how good Miami is at running their zone when it comes to the playoffs. You can't play against a zone if you can't shoot the basketball. So that's the team that I think, if they were in the 1-8 matchup, would be able to potentially, I'm not saying that they'd win the series, but I'm saying they would make the Pistons' life more difficult than any of the other teams around that area.
And the thing about Spo is that he is so experienced in the playoffs. He knows how to make a team confident, understands how we can go in and win one game on the road or two, and they can win a series. He's did it against Boston. He's done it against so many teams over the years. I think you're absolutely right there. Orlando, if Franz Wagner's healthy, everyone's healthy on their team. They're explosive, but I worry about their shooting. Toronto is a bunch of hungry dogs. I mean, they are tough. But I'll tell you what, Charlotte's the team, even though they're small.
Well, I wanted to go into this with the Celtics, who are currently second. If I'm the Celtics, the team I want to see the least is the Charlotte Hornets. Now, it's not just because the Hornets absolutely kicked their ass when they played 118-89. It's not just because of that game. And I wanted to talk to you about this, Coach, because that game, obviously Tatum wasn't back by then. The Hornets led by as many as 29 points, and they never trailed in that. But obviously the Celtics were playing their sixth game in 9 days, so we give them some slack. But sure. I wanted to talk about this factor. Now, I don't know if this is just me thinking or if this is actually a real thing, but the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets.
You're going to come with the Charles Lee thing?
Yeah.
With Charles Lee?
Charles Lee, the head coach of the Hornets, used to be the assistant for the Celtics. And I think he knows a thing or two about Joe Mazzulla and what the Celtics do. So he has a better insight into how to beat them than any of the other coaches.
I think that's a very, very strong possibility. He does. No,
you agree? I'm crazy.
No. When you work for a guy, you know what makes up a team. So he knows Mazzulla inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe's right now, in my opinion, he's best. And so he knows him, knows what he's going to do defensively, et cetera. And he'll try to exploit that, you know. But Joe, on the other hand, he's got some dogs, man. He's got some guys. So, but it's a great point. And when you're 1-8 or 2-7,
mm-hmm.
you know, or 3-6, you have to pray for an upset, and that would be an advantage for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, which team do you think the Celtics would have the easiest time against?
It's a good question. You know, it's, some of them have really given him problems over the years, but I'm going to go with Toronto and Miami, believe it or not.
Yeah. I hear it. If you're the New York Knicks in the third seed, who are you hoping drops out of the sixth seed and into the play-in so you're not guaranteed to face them? You don't want to face the Raptors if you're the Knicks. Why not?
You do.
Oh, you do? Oh,
I'm sorry. You do. They're 4-0 against them, I think.
No. This is what I'm saying is who do you hope doesn't get up to the sixth seed?
My fault.
Yeah, my fault.
Ooh. Miami and Atlanta.
Mm.
Because of the nightlife.
Well, they canceled Magic City Night, so...
No, it's going to be at the club now. Not at the arena. I've been to Magic City Club, but I didn't know it could hold 20,000 people like it was going to be that night. It might have been the best special they ran in years. I'd Philly, even though they have good games, Philly plays New York great, by the way. Philly does. I don't care who's playing for Philly. It's a great rivalry because it's an hour and a half by train up and back. It's a really good one. Orlando, similar situation. Orlando plays very well when they come to Madison Square Garden. You know, it's a big deal for those guys, you know. But when the Knicks come to Orlando, they don't win.
Mm.
I don't know if it's, they're just so happy to see sunshine, but it happens sometimes, you know. I think they feel okay against Charlotte, even though I wouldn't if I were them, because I think Charlotte can score the ball. But, you know. I really think the East is the best playoffs this year.
Oh, 100%. Then you've got the 4-5 seeds. Cavs Magic is where it currently sits, but it could be Cavs Raptors, Cavs Heat, even Cavs Hawks.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with the Cavs, right? So, like, I think every team has its weakness. The Pistons, we talked about. The Celtics, the reliance on the three is great until, like what happened against the Knicks last year, you have a couple of games where it's not going down and all of a sudden your season's on the line. The Knicks, they have their two best offensive players are defensive liabilities when it comes to the postseason. The Cavs, they don't really have that kind of weakness on paper now that they traded for James Harden. There's just a few things. Number one, we rarely see mid-season trades work out in their first year.
Right.
The other thing is there's just something about the Cavs when they get to the playoffs that it just doesn't work out. Jarrett Allen said a couple of years ago when they lost to the Knicks, the lights were too bright. They played a fantastic game the other day. I did it on Prime against the Mavericks. Obviously, the Mavericks stink, but Evan Mobley at the five looked fantastic. But now Jarrett Allen's out. When he comes back, there's not a lot of games they've had together as a complete group, and they've got Max Strus, who's making his debut for the season.
Coming back right now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's tough. Like,
and Max
they're
Strus
leaving
is
it a bit
a
late.
Terrific player, but when you haven't played in a year...
Mm-hmm.
Tough.
Yeah, that's my
something
concern.
Something has happened to Kenny Atkinson's defense in the last year. Not to Kenny Atkinson, but to their defense. And sometimes that happens when you become so good at scoring the ball that everyone gets offensively oriented. And the preparation in the league for regular season is totally different than in the playoffs. Every night, regular season, every team plays virtually the same style. They don't even have to prepare for games. And it looks like they don't, most teams. But I'm telling you, in the playoffs, now you're locking down for seven games for one team. It's a different animal.
The East is wide open, Coach. Who do you currently think will be the last two teams standing in the Eastern Conference?
Will the Pistons finally win a home playoff game? it's so incredible. I hope the Pistons survive just because an alumnus of the organization. So I'm going to root for them. And I'm a sympathetic love story kind of guy. So I want to see Tatum. I want to see him doing the bold thing of coming back and playing where he could have easily taken the safe route and sat out.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. I don't think there's below the four spot. I'd really be shocked if anyone gets up there to compete.
Yeah, same.
But if the Knicks and Pistons aren't there, I'm sorry, if the Detroit and Boston are not there, I'm going to say the Knicks will come back again for the third year in a row.
Yep.
Paying their dues to get through.
I think the East is wide open. The West, I think, is a two-horse race. Those two horses being San Antonio and Oklahoma City. And the way Oklahoma City are playing right now on their 8-game win streak, they got a great win today against the Timberwolves. They're looking like they're going back to the finals.
They're really shifting gears. And still, they got to get J-Dub.
And here's the thing about the Western Conference. We just talked about all the teams, you know, because by the way, the teams in the Eastern Conference, the Hornets were on a crazy win streak. The Hawks on a crazy win streak. The Miami Heat keep picking up wins. Like, the Heat are 7-3 in their last 10. The Hawks are 9-1 in their last 10. And the Hornets are 7-3 in their last 10. When you look at the play-in for the West, the Suns, Dylan Brooks broke his hand. Not really high on them anymore. The Clippers, they're still chugging along above 500 now, despite being 15 games below to start the season. The Warriors, I think their season is packed
toast.
Up. The Trailblazers, they do not move me in the slightest. And then below that, none of them have a chance. So there's not really...
I totally agree with you on that. Yeah.
There's not really too much going on. And if I look at like the lower seeds, so you have the top four seeds, the Thunder, the Spurs, and currently the Lakers, who are half a game ahead of the Rockets, who are a game ahead of the Nuggets, who are level with the Timberwolves. Outside of those six, I don't see anyone outside of those six advancing through the first round.
I agree.
I don't think the Thunder are worried about any of the teams in the play-in. I don't think the Spurs are worried about any of the teams in the play-in. Maybe Kawhi can go Super Saiyan again, but again, there's a 15 games to get there, and he twisted his ankle last night against the Kings, and then you've got to play a 7-game series. I don't think those two teams are worried. Now, where it gets interesting is the 3-6 and the 4-5 matchups. As a fan of the game, between the Lakers, Rockets, Nuggets, and Timberwolves, if you could pick the matchups that you want to see, how would you structure those?
Number two down?
3-6. Lakers, Rockets, right, Nuggets, Timberwolves.
I tell you what, I hate to see the Lakers get knocked out by Minnesota again.
I would love it.
Yeah, I know you would. Boy, I tell you what. I think I would like to see Houston and the Lakers go in together.
KD and LeBron?
And Denver, Minnesota. But I'm telling you, I think I'm really worried about those 3-6 teams. I mean, you tell me how they're going to finish right now, and I bet you for 15 or 16 games, I bet you neither one of us get it right.
Well, the Rockets, 6-4 in the last 10, their dip in form has coincided with the latest revelations of Kevin Durant's burner accounts, where he was calling his teammates slurs and saying that they're crap. That does not surprise me in the slightest, even though they'll publicly not admit to that. They have a lot of issues. The Lakers, they're hot right now. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 5 in a row. They're playing better. They're healthy again. Marcus Smart was fantastic for them in a huge win against Denver, which was a tie-breaking game. And they went to overtime. Austin Reeves, who played great defense on Jokic for like the last three possessions of the game, and then went and missed the free throw on purpose, got his own rebound, and then hit a shot to take the game to OT.
Right.
Great performance from Reeves. Luka is still being Luka. LeBron looked awful towards the end of that game. Maybe it was age. Maybe he's still suffering from that injury. But the Lakers right now are playing the best out of them.
Right.
The Timberwolves are kind of my dark horse, though, because they can turn it up in the playoffs, and we've seen them do it. But you're leaving it late to flip that switch. I don't think they would be happy if you told them at the start of the season that with 15 games to go, they'd be the sixth seed. They view themselves as a top two team.
I agree with you. They should have been a top three team, I think.
Yep. Easily. And the Nuggets, because of the health that they've had with Aaron Gordon missing time, Peyton Watson missing time, and they've had a whole bunch of guys, and then Cam Johnson has been proving me wrong. Yeah, Chris Brown's missed a lot of time. But Cam Johnson has been a massive disappointment in Denver. The amount of games I watch for the Denver Nuggets, and I think, if they had Michael Porter Jr., they would have won this.
If he'd played the way he's playing in Brooklyn, yeah.
Well, even if he played how he played for the Nuggets when they won their championship.
The poor guy's shoulder last year in the playoffs was hurt, I think, right?
Yeah.
But if he played the way he played in the championship year, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them because David Adelman's doing a great job holding them together. But half the time he doesn't have any. And then Jamal Murray got hurt, but he's back at least.
Yep. Oh, their defense has been horrible all year. It's picked up recently, but it's still, is this a fluky stretch of games or is it actually going to be trusted?
They give up too many points. They do. And, you have to win with defense in the playoffs. I don't care what anyone says. That's why I think Detroit, Boston are really, really good teams defensively. And I think OKC and San Antonio are elite defensively. The rest of the teams, I don't think guard.
Mm. I've got the Thunder Spurs being the Western Conference Finals. Who wins that is a coin toss for me right now.
I tell you what, I wouldn't bet on either one of them because San Antonio has proven they can win on the road. They've beaten them 4 out of 5 times, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they battled to win the other one. I think Wimby is getting better.
Yep.
Which is frightening.
Castle's getting even better. Harper's getting better.
I'll tell you what, the Castle, Fox, Vasil, and my God, Harper kid. I mean, they got some perimeter players. They're elite level players. I think defensively they can crank it up to on the perimeter the way OKC can, and even more so. And boy, that's how you have to get into Shea. You have to get into him for 48 minutes while he's out there. I'm also concerned about the Thunder's health by their bigs and stuff, their front court. It's been so – I've never seen a championship team of young people have such bad health. Other than ACL injuries and stuff.
Jalen Williams coming back just – before the playoffs or even in time for the playoffs, like reintegrating. Obviously, it's not an issue because they've won a championship together, but it's still a little bit throws off your regular rotations that you've been getting used to now over the course of the season.
What is it now? Is it his hand again? What's his injury now?
Jalen Williams has a strained right hamstring. So I don't know when he's coming back. It's been tough for them.
Hamstrings are bad.
Yep. You know,
the injury of the year, like the flavor of the month.
The calf.
It was the right strained calf.
Yep.
Strained calf. But hamstrings are bad, though.
It is tough. So, Coach, that's the playoff picture. I wanted to get your perspective. With the last 15 games as a coaching staff, what are you really dialing in on now? And what are you looking at? And are you trying to figure out who's going to be in your playoff rotation? Because we know the rotations get shorter. What are the kind of things that coaches are looking at this point of the season?
Right now, you're, number one, you're healthy, your team. If you're healthy, then what you're trying to do is treat every game like a playoff game to prepare them for it. So not the idea of winning, it's a must win. It's the idea, let's prepare the way we're going to prepare then. And also, let's come in and play the rotations, as you mentioned, and let's really focus on our execution. More on details now. And you tell the players why you're doing that. And you're telling them, this is like training camp for the playoffs now. This is what we're going into. Used to, Mo, back in the day, we used to have a week off before we played the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a few days off now for the play-in if you're not in the play-in.
Some teams... literally, like Pat Riley, when he was with the Lakers and the Knicks, would go away from their home site and have training camp for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a bad shout.
But you don't have that time now, really, to do that. So the play-in teams, they're under intense pressure. But then they're coming in, though. They're coming in ready to play, though. Now,
well, there's 6 days between the end of the regular season and the playoffs beginning.
Right. Yeah. Which is good. Is good. And so I think we're going to see some, but many guys are still nursing injuries and stuff like that. They'll give them at least one. Usually every team plays on the last day of the season. There's usually 30 teams playing on that Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then, you give your guys off on Monday. And then Tuesday, you start your preparation for, your games that weekend. I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be great playoffs because I always see what's at the end of the road. So I see the teams that could be in conference finals or even semifinals of conferences and the finals, which I think should be magnificent for the league.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And you guys can stay right here with the Hoop Genius podcast because we're going to be bringing you coverage all the way through the NBA playoffs. Coach, I'm excited. We're almost there, about a month, well, less than a month now.
If I do the playoffs, including the finals, do I get a ring or something? Like a championship ring or something?
Well, I mean, I don't think our friends in Sacramento are going to win the playoffs this season. So no, if they were going to win, I could ask them to send a ring, but I don't know who's going to win this season.
No, I mean, I was hoping that NBA 2K26 was going to get us rings or something.
Oh, wait, where's mine? They actually gave me a championship ring. I have one, yeah. But where have I put it? I think it's upstairs. I actually have a championship ring from NBA 2K for their 25-year anniversary. Yeah. I'll show you that sometime. It's not quite as cool as your actual NBA championship rings, but it's as close as I'm going to get.
No, it's not. Or my championship trophies here.
Yeah. No, we don't get rings, unfortunately, but I will ask.
I'll show you one ring, mode. You'll like
okay, this. Okay. If you guys are listening on audio, you've got to get over to the YouTube so you can see stuff like this.
How about that ring?
Let's have a look, Coach. Jeez. What is that, 89?
This is 80. No, this is 90. The second one, 1990, back-to-back.
Yep.
But this was actually a paperweight that they gave to every season ticket holder at the first game the following year.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's about 5 pounds.
I was going to say, your fingers ain't that big. That
look at this. Look at this thing. It's fun, though. It's fun.
That's all awesome. Right, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, we'll see which teams are picking up championship rings. Until then, make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, much like Bam Adebayo, get buckets, not from the free throw line.